This is the September 19 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net, Brian Splitt, also from AgMarket.net, and Dave Chatterton. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to listen at willag.org. Let's begin with this question, Dave Chatterton. As farmers begin to go to the field this harvest, what should be top of their mind as related to marketing?
Yeah, Todd, I mean, interesting that, you know, I think harvest has started at the farm level here this week or in the last few weeks, and will, as you said, be gaining speed. I think it started at the elevator, the commercial level, in the last few weeks, and that's the collision of old crop. And we've seen, you know, commercial elevators that have to close because there's so much old crop coming in. At the same time, we're trying to meld in the new crop. So I think that's your first warning sign that basis could get very sloppy and logistics could get very sloppy this fall. So I think logistical planning is going to be very important this year in terms of, you don't want to be the last guy looking for a home for bushels that you can't store at home or haven't made prior plans for. Basis could be sloppy. Storage and DP rates could be either extremely high or unavailable or changeable. All the DP rates that are published are always subject to change. All the same thing on the storage rates. So make sure that you're aware of that and kind of planning for that. I think it's an interesting year in terms of margin where we have, I think almost all the commercial, you know, elevators or sources that we talk to would tell you that their new crop book or the amount of grain that they've got bought from the farmer at this particular point is a lot lower in a percentage terms than it would normally be. And so there are going to be a lot of bushels looking for a home. And I think that tells you how you need to market if you're doing a basis contract or if you're trying to defer pricing on some of this, that you need to be ready to pull the trigger and have a plan of action. And I think getting through harvest safely and having that plan of action is really the best thing that you can do right now. We're not in a situation where we're looking for a bullish market to develop in the futures side of the industry here anytime soon.
This reminds me that the old crop has been coming in, but it's not stopped coming in and isn't likely to stop coming in. It may continue to come in along with the new crop. I'm wondering how the elevator system is reflected in the futures markets as it has to hedge this off, and if that means anything for you related to what futures might do and the kinds of pressure it could come under. But, and I guess to clarify, I was like, well, does this mean the hedge pressure has been in the marketplace for some time, and how much deeper does it really get?
Well, that's a good question, because basically, as the crop comes to town, they'll hedge it off, of course. But we feel the most pressure is going to be here up front early on. And you just got to work the carry. If you got on-farm storage, there's some excellent opportunities. Sell them the deferred contracts and try to capture some of that carry. But you got to kind of push the pencil on it, see what your options are. The biggest question is, do I store or do I sell? But Dave, you know, pretty well said that, you know, guys are undersold in through here. There's a lot coming to town. We estimate anywhere from 10 to 15% of the crop was priced prior to this. But in return, that means that the end user has only bought 10 to 15%. So I believe we're going to see some demand underneath the market. Are they going to come in and buy it and run the market up? No, they're going to sit back and keep their hands in their pockets for a while. So what I'm trying to say is, I think you're going to see the widest basis here this fall. It's going to narrow up, you know, as time goes on. As far as doing a DP, a basis contract, think about it, push the pencil, and know what's involved with you, but also look at what the other guy does with it on the other end also.
On the hedge pressure, is it deepened? Is it maybe shallower for longer? What are you thinking?
Well, you know, Todd, I think when you look at the situation, I'm afraid a little bit of the hedge pressure. And to Kurt's point, I mean, I think basis can get sloppy, but I also think the futures market could. And if you look at what's happened, I think the simplest way we can look at this is you look at the high to low that we've had in corn here, later the rally that we've had. And my friend Kurt would call it the full moon rally, if you will. But so we went from basically 385 in Dease corn to a high of around 415 or 416. We'll call that 30 cents. But look at the fund position since the beginning of July in corn has been cut by, I think people don't realize this, 70%. So it's 70% smaller than the peak net short that they had. That transfer has already largely taken place. The pressure that comes in from now, we have to match that up instead of the spec short, you know, taking the other side of that trade. I think it has to be the end user, and end users have been pretty stingy here in terms of going hand to mouth and keeping their hands in their pockets. That may change at some point, but I don't think it's going to change between now and at least the middle of harvest.
So you're suggesting end users will stay out of the marketplace and it will continue to float lower?
Well, I don't think it's supportive of higher trade at this point. I think you could see some hedge pressure here that doesn't have, you know, when the elevator and the commercial comes in to hedge on the short side of the marketplace, we need the buyer to step forward. And if I'm in the commercial or the end user space right now, I'm not going to be the first guy to step over that line.
In recent weeks, the corn market has felt from the brokerage side, from those that I talk to on the radio, as if it's the place where there was the most friendly terms available. Has that shifted to neutral or neutral to bearish, in your opinion?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I'm going to make an upside bet right now, Todd, I'm going to actually bet on the beans, and that's simply because of the weather in South America. And that weather has time to straighten itself out. The rains have time to start falling, but we need a majority of those beans to start going in the ground by, let's say, the middle of October. And that was easy to say, you know, 60 days ago, and now we're at the, you know, inside the 45-day mark, and pretty soon we're going to be inside the 15-day mark on that window. And the long-term forecasts are showing some development of rain and a change to the rainy season that starts in mid to, you know, early to mid October, but there's no guarantee of that. And if that gets pushed forward, I think we have something to work with. Where corn, you know, ethanol demand has been good. Export demand has been a little bit of a lull here. I mean, we started off with a good pace and we've gone a little bit flat here of late. So, you know, in relative terms of what looks a little bit more friendly to me right now, I'd say it's beans over corn.
When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, a 2 billion bushel corn crop is plenty, but it's not super super large. When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet on soybeans, it's just huge. I mean, it's just 500 million bushels. In the past, if you go back to the Sparks in former days, they projected 500 million bushel carry out, but that's early in the year. We're actually looking at that now, whereas in the past, it dwindled down. So, you know, that the bean yields come in strong. We're going to have quite a few bushels to work with. Beans are the wild card. It stays dry, we can get something going, but I think they do have some downside risk in here. When you look at July futures out to 1070, 1075, that's pretty good hedge. Look at that price versus what you're getting now, receiving now, and I think there's some opportunity there. Corn-wise, I think it's probably the most stable. There's going to be hedge pressure. There can be some downside risk in through here, but I think corn below $4 as an end user is a good purchase.
However, the end users apparently don't agree with that, at least not yet, right?
They will. They've got to buy. They just can't go empty. It's a scheduled event. I mean, an ethanol plant has to keep going. That steer or that poultry operation, you got to feed them daily here. The only concern is the export side of the equation. Lower river values, water value, lower water levels is a concern, and the export market could be a thorn in the side here for a while.
All good points, but I think you just take it back to the way that we've seen the, you know, creatures of habit, if you will, and the best play of late. If you're the guy that's buying the grain for the ethanol plant or the corn processor or the bean, you know, the bean mill, forward hedging has not been your friend, really, or buying on that forward curve and buying into that carry. So I think they're very much hand to mouth. If there's a signal that something's changing in the water and we need to buy and we need to cover, I think it'll be a great thing. Right now, I don't see that. The best hope I think we have for that, again, becomes back to that weather in South America, because it has a dual effect. Not only does it affect the potential for bean acres and bean yield, but the further we push back bean planting in central and northern Brazil, the more effect it has on their potential corn crop because of when it gets planted and you know, when the rainy season comes to an end.
Is the trade satisfied with what it's hearing out of South America as it's related to the number of acres, hectares that will be planted there, particularly the Argentine farmers suggesting that they're going to shift an inordinate number of acres to soybeans? And has the trade put that into the marketplace already? Or are they waiting? I mean, this is one of the other things that could still be in play, I would suppose.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's always going to be a dynamic. And, you know, we're looking at the supply focus in the U.S. right now at harvest. So pretty soon that's going to quickly shift to South America. And you're talking about 5 million hectares switching in Argentina from corn to soybeans. So it becomes a long-term positive for the corn market and maybe a long-term bearish, you know, event for the bean market with additional oversupply. But those things are going to take a while to play out. I think that's the long-term thinking of what goes on here. And to Kurt's point, if you have storage available or if you put your crop in commercial storage or DP, be looking at those carries and having an idea of what your interest cost is, what your break-even is, and what you need to get to, and have that target in place so that you've got a plan. I mean, the opportunities that we get, and it seems like we always get them even in the most bearish years, but you have to be ready to act quickly because there are a lot of bushels out here that are going to be looking to be priced on any type of rally.
A week from Monday, USDA will release the quarterly grain stocks figures. This is the last one for the last marketing year that ended September the 1st. What are your expectations and how important is the corn number that will be coming from there?
Well, it can be a mover, has been a mover in the past. But if you go clear back to day one when you started looking at the supply-demand balance sheet on any stocks, we were at 2.2. Now we were down to 1.7 on this old crop, but yet the market dropped 90 cents. So it's old news. They're more going to be more focused after that report comes out where we are currently with the current harvest. But you're going to see a big drop on farm storage. They pretty well cleaned her out ahead of this fall here. So I think the on farm storage is ready for new crop storage now.
On farm storage, but will it have moved into the elevator system, which is far more likely to make it count it because they'll have it, especially if they had it by September 1. They'll have an accounting of it on that day. And I'm wondering whether there's much fear in the trade that suddenly there's going to be a bigger grain stocks number because all those numbers are really counted and whether the bushels were in the bin or not, and how big last year's crop was, I suppose is what I'm really asking.
Well, yeah, it's a good question. It was on farm or in the commercial hands. It's been counted for the most part. I mean, you're saying we're getting more of an accurate count?
It goes to the feed and residual side, right? And so I'm asking, was there more or less in the feed and residual side? And now that it actually will be in the elevator and gets counted, that's going to show up.
Yeah, when it goes across the scale, it gets counted pretty easily. So, you know, Todd, I think I'm a little bit more, you know, in your viewpoint here. When you look at how sloppy basis became late in the summer, how wide spreads were, and kind of the issue that we're having going into harvest with the pre-harvest of old crop followed directly by the harvest, I guess the notional take on that is, look, maybe there are more stocks out there than we were giving credit for. And I don't have any great insight on the USDA. I've lost more money over the years trying to trade against them than I want to admit. So I won't do it. But I think that the rational miss on the part of the USDA could be a bearish stocks report, particularly on corn, just looking at how the cash markets have acted.
So let's talk about what farmers ought to do. Again, they're in the field. This tends not to be their highest priority for the next 2 months. Why should they make it their highest priority? Because I think maybe they should, or maybe the prices are low enough, they should just be happy with a big crop and counting bushels coming in.
Yeah, that's the challenge. It's going to depend local situation. I don't believe you need to pay a 50 cent DP charge. I think you got to kind of push the pencil, see where you are. Instead of doing a basis contract through the elevator and get 70% of your money, I think you just go ahead and move the grain, get 100% of your money, but be long up front if you do that, because like Dave mentioned, the carry in the marketplace is going to eat you up. So doing a basis contract out to July could be some type of challenge. But seems like, guys, if we can get some more strength in the beans here, move the beans and kind of want to store the corn is what I'm picking up.
Yeah, I think that's very much the theme, Kurt, of what we're going to see. And I mean, beans create cash flow and you know, especially with the yields that we're looking at here. But I think the reason, to your point, Todd, the reason that you need to pay attention is, you know what your bottom lines look like and what your cash flows look like. You can yield your way out of, you know, poor commodity prices to a certain degree. But we're still in a situation where without an ad hoc government program or, you know, an 85% RP policy is probably not going to pay based on the yields that we're seeing. You don't have any other safety net, and every dollar is going to count in terms of how you make money or if you make money in a low margin environment. We haven't seen the drop in input prices. We're already looking ahead to 2025 and trying to figure out how those dots are going to line up and what, you know, what it's going to mean to the acreage mix and different things. But it's, you know, I guess I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer, but I think you have to face reality and say, look, we're in a defensive marketing environment and we have a lot of challenges ahead of us in terms of profitability. And everybody's got, not everybody, but most farmers have a banker or a lender or a family person that's involved financially, that's saying, hey, how's this going to work? And I think having a plan and having some, you know, something on paper and saying, hey, you know, I can put these offers in or work with my broker or my marketer and do this. And then I'm going to go worry about harvest and get my grain harvested and dried and conditioned and put away and whatever it might be. That's all great. But, you know, you can't, sticking your head in the sand is typically not the best alternative here.
All right. So I'm going to try to see if I can get a marketing plan laid out, relatively speaking, for on-farm storage, corn and soybeans. I suspect they have both. You can tell them to put corn in the soybean bin if you want. Are they going to capture the carry by putting it in the bin, making the sale today for delivery, and in what month? And then what do you do with the rest of it going across the scale? But let's start with just on-farm storage with each of you. What do you think they should do as it refers to marketing that crop, and how soon do they capture the carry today?
I think you need to put yourself, Todd, I think you need to, if you put it in that bin, you need to have offers working that are modestly above current levels to get that carry sold, whether that's Jan, March, July, you know, depends on your particular situation. Also depends on where you're at in the state. If I look at Champaign County, I might have a corn carry from harvest to March of 22, 25, 27 cents. If I'm in St. Louis, it might be 55, 57, 60 cents, and it might be 80 cents on beans for that same situation. So know your local market and what you can expect and do that. But, you know, I just think if these harvest numbers are right and we avoid a big problem in Brazil, you know, you'll have an opportunity to maybe sell at a higher futures value than you have today, but it's not going to be a lot higher. You're not waiting for a dollar in beans and 50 cents in corn. You're waiting for 15 to 25 to 30 cents in corn and maybe 40 to 70 cents in beans.
Well, that's a tough one, because you say put in the bin, the typical farmer will put in the bin and sit on it and do no marketing at all. It's tough. I think July futures, 1070, 1075 on beans, July corn futures, 450. A little below that, but I think those are good hedges. And what you do is, if we do get some appreciation going into Thanksgiving or 1st of December, the basis narrows up, then you can readjust that marketing plan.
Do we need to do the same thing with soybeans, different plan or not?
Same plan as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we can watch the weather in South America, but to me, I'm going to put myself on the clock. If I'm putting beans in the bin or in storage somehow, I'm going to have offers working against at least 2/3 of that. And if those offers haven't filled in, let's say by the end of October, I'm going to reevaluate. If they haven't filled by the end of November, I'm going to have to sell something, or I'm going to have to get those offers really close to the current market where I know I'm going to start clipping it off, because closer I get to the end of the year, the more I know is going to have to be forced to be moved. And so unless you're going to play the really long game and you're willing to close your eyes and wait and see what happens next May, June, and July, which, you know, it could be a risky bet, then I think that's your play. And as to Kurt's point, selling cash grain is not the end. Selling cash grain puts or having an offer in that gets hit, puts a floor underneath what you've sold. It doesn't mean you can't use options or the futures market to keep yourself in the game and do it in a way that is not totally, you know, that has some risk aversion to it or has a known cost and known risk to it.
So you're trying to limit your exposure at that point.
Yeah, you know, the popular theme has been to move the cash and replace with a call option, use the money, what you're going to spend in storage, and do that. But you got to be very careful, because you don't want to pay high volatility. You go out and buy a deferred call option to replace it. Well, it's going to be hard to get that to go up. So what we've been encouraging guys, if you want to go down that path, do some type of spread activity, buy some in the money and sell some out of the money to help pay for that. So you just can't blindly go buy something and expect it to work, because if we just continue to grind sideways in here, you're going to lose time value.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. I spoke with Kurt along with Dave Chatterton, who is with Strategic Farm Marketing, on Thursday afternoon. About an hour and a half before that, I talked with Brian Split of AgMarket.net. He's a chartist and technician. I wanted to check with him to see what the charts were saying about the direction of the commodity markets, particularly corn and soybeans, and asked him to start with his view of the corn market.
Yeah, let's focus on December corn. And, you know, what I would point out, if anybody had a chart pulled up where they could almost follow along, is one of the primary lines that I have drawn on this chart is from lows that were made in May of 2023 to lows that were made in February of this year. So those were essentially our spring lows last year to our late winter lows this year. And that line has been very important. We took that lower end channel line out the day of the June quarterly stock report, and we have not been back above that line since. Now, we had some highs 2 days after that stocks and acreage report in early July. That is the high for the month of July. And if you draw the high from that to the mid-July highs, it comes right across, and it touches the highs that we had yesterday and last week, or I should say, last week. And so that's really been kind of a very decisive line where it took the acres and the stocks to push through the lower end of that channel, which had been holding for quite some time. Now, in the meantime, the high for the month of September is 416, and it's right against that line that we just referenced. And that was a reversal day, so it went up, hit the trend line, and then closed lower and closed below the previous day's low. And so we haven't been able to take that day's high out since. So this market is in the process of consolidating right now, and it's really in the middle of its trading range. So you have that 416 high, and then you have that 397 low that was made the day of the September WASDE report, and we're just smack dab in the middle of that trading range at this point. If we can get back over that 416 high, that to me would confirm a bottom. Then that would put us back into that overall channel that we were in for over a year, and that should create some additional short covering from the funds. However, if we can't get through there, we have to be aware of the uptrend that's been established below the market. And this is actually something that we haven't been able to have this whole way down. And what I mean by this is when we were breaking from the May highs, every time we made a new low and bounced and rolled over, we took out that previous low. And so, or at least matched it, right? So, you know, all the way through end of June into July into mid-August, you know, we had several new lows that were made and several bounces, but every time we rolled over from that bounce, we went and made a new low or at least tested the previous low. So what's new here in corn is that we made those August lows and bounced, and then we made another low afterwards, but that low was higher than the August low. So we have the beginning of an uptrend, and we haven't been able to say that since this market rolled over in May. That uptrend is going to come in today at about 402, so about 4 cents lower, the 20 days at 403, the 50 days at 404. So I think anybody that, if the fund is going to continue to cover shorts, if end users are going to come in here and start to buy, they're likely going to buy that moving average cluster and that uptrend, risking below the report day low of 397. If we do take that low out, that would then suggest we're going to go take a look at contract lows, if not make new lows afterwards. So this market has been consolidating. It's going to have to make up its mind pretty soon because, again, the difference between where the downtrend and the uptrend come in is going to get smaller and smaller every day. And eventually it's going to get squeezed out of this pattern and it's going to have to pick a direction. So above 416 looks very good. We'll start talking some bigger picture retracement objectives from the May high to the August low. 445 would be a major objective above the market, 440 to 445. That's about your 50% retracement, and that would be a revisit of the February lows. We got to get through 416 to even consider talking about those numbers. Other side of $4 likely leads to a test of contract lows, if not new lows. So we're really waiting for direction right now in corn.
And it'll come soon, within, the next
2 weeks?
Well, we do have a quarterly stock report right at the end of the month, and I would venture to say it's going to be very difficult for corn to continue to trade in this tight range after those numbers are released. And that will likely dictate whether the funds continue to cover shorts as we get into the beginning of the fourth quarter, or if they decide, hey, we've covered a bunch, we've got a big harvest in front of us, the stocks report maybe suggests we should still be short. And so that report may be the key to whether the funds decide to pile back into shorts and bring this thing back down going into and through harvest, or if they decide that something's happened here and we need to get out of more shorts at the beginning of the new quarter.
So the short version is if it breaks above, well, it'll be lower than 416, but it'll have to break above the trend line and then through 416 after that, right?
You got to make it 416. The trend line is one thing, but I think you have to take out that reversal, the high of that reversal day, in order to warrant additional short covering.
Now talk to me about the soybean chart.
You know, very similar in the respect that we've come off the lows nicely in beans, just like we have corn. But, you know, here's the deal. If you look at the settlement price the first day of September, and so that was actually, what was it, September 3rd? The settlement price that day was 10.12. As you and I are talking right now, it is 10.14. So here we are, September 19th. We're two-thirds of the way through the month, and this market gone anywhere all month long. Again, that is the definition of consolidation. And much the same in corn, in the soybean market, we had a reversal the same day as corn. That was on September 6th. So both instances, September 6th is the high for the month for corn and for soybeans. And until we get through and make some new highs above these current September highs, we're consolidating looking for direction. We do have a little bit of an uptrend from last week's lows. So last week's lows were 9.95 and three quarters on Tuesday, 9.95 and a half on a Wednesday, 9.97 and a quarter on a Thursday. That was also the day of the report. And we've been holding the uptrend from those couple of days, and we were testing that uptrend on Monday and Tuesday of this week, holding it. The 20-day moving average is right at $10, right? So if we see the other side of last week's lows get back below 9.95, we're going to go looking at the contract lows again, possibly making new lows. But if this market can again push through that September 6th high, make a new high for the month, then it's going to make this look like a bull pennant. And depending on what day it is that it breaks out of the pennant formation, that'll dictate to an extent what type of upside objective that we're looking at. But I think 10.92 and three quarters is the 50% retracement of the whole break from the May high to the August low. 10.90 and three quarters to me is what would be the upside objective if we break out to the upside of this wedge formation that we're in. So again, we're waiting for direction right now. In lieu of breaking out to the upside and it takes out 9.95, we're going 9.55 again and looking at lows. So both corn and beans have been consolidating for quite some time. If anybody owns options in either puts or calls, you're probably noticing that your option values are eroding. That is a product of the market not going anywhere. That is also a product of the volatility value in these options trading at 6 months lows at this point. So from a marketing perspective, what I can tell you is now is not a good time to sell options. Right, you want to sell options when the volatility value is at a high level. You don't want to sell options when volatility is at a low level. So for those of you that may be, you know, thinking about, hey, I want to, you know, buy a put to cover my bushels to the downside, maybe I want to sell a call to help pay for that put, probably not worth it to sell that call. They're just not offering much premium to me to make it worth selling these options. Because once you sell that option, it does put you in a marginable position. And if the market becomes a little bit more active, a little bit more volatile, just that volatility value in the option is going to put you on margin calls. So I don't think this is the time right now to be selling options in a bigger picture perspective.
Do the products for the beans give you any insight on what direction things might go?
Well, so there's one product that's catching my eye, and this is what gives me a little bit of a feeling like, hey, you know, maybe the beans could go a little bit higher because of what the meal chart looks like. And again, this is a potential pattern. It hasn't confirmed it yet. But when I look at the December soy meal, it looks like we could be forming a what you would call a head and shoulder bottom. And so we made some highs on August 6th, and then we made some highs on September 6th. Okay. Those two highs would be your neckline of the pattern. And generally, they're up in that, you know, 333 to 335 zone. You've got a left shoulder that's down around 315. You've got a right shoulder that's down around 316. And if we could get through 335, and by the way, the 100-day moving average is also lined up right there. So it's very good resistance. But if you could clear that, that would validate the pattern, and then that would send this meal market all the way back up to, well, the measurements suggest about 367 a ton. So that would be about a $30 push higher from where the neckline sits. And so if the meal market does validate that pattern, I would have to think that the soybean market itself is going to go up with it. So again, these are all potential patterns. We could potentially break out in corn above 416. We could potentially break out in beans above 1031. We could potentially break out in meal above 430 or 335. So these are things to watch out for. We just haven't done it yet. And until we do, these are resistance levels. So, you know, from a timing perspective, I think there's some decisions that producers have, and it's what can I store and what has to be sold in the short term out of the field. And until we get through these major resistance levels, when we're up near them, if you have some short-term selling that you need to do, these may be areas to really consider making some of those short-term sales of bushels that need to be sold out of the field. And then maybe look for a way to have some paper ownership in a call type of a position where your downside risk is eliminated. You have some upside mobility. And by the way, you know, once you cut off the interest on that money, I'd rather pay interest on the value of a call than the interest on the nominal value of my bushels. So I think there's some upside potential if this market can get through some of these key areas. And I think it really boils down to how long does Brazil stay dry, or do they start getting rain in order to plant while we're harvesting? That would bring in some pressure. And how much more does China want to buy? China was a very big buyer of beans this week on the weekly sales, almost a million tons out of the 1.7 and some change that were sold total. So our export demand for soybeans lately has been rather robust, and I think that's what's been, in conjunction with Brazil dryness, been keeping this market steady as we're seeing new bushels hit the market.
You've been listening to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Brian Splitt from agmarket.net, Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Kurt Kimmel, also from agmarket.net. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.